From Storyflow Science, Iris on Science, June 15th, from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief for June 15th. Iris here. June 15th, Health and Longevity in 10. Let's begin with what changed my mind this week. Let's get into it. First, from ARS Technica Science, did a medieval flying monk spot Halley's Comet twice? It's complicated. Early in the 11th century, a young Benedictine monk named Aylmer jumped from the 150-foot tower of his abbey in the small English town of Malmesbury, wearing a pair of crude wings he'd fashioned from willow wood and cloth. Aylmer managed to glide a good 600 feet, passing over the city wall before crash-landing in a small valley near the River Avon. The fall broke both his legs, crippling him. Malmesbury Abbey still boasts a stained-glass window in honor of Brother Aylmer. This legendary experiment in medieval aviation comes to us via 12th-century historian William of Malmesbury in an account written circa 1125, although William neglected to provide future historians with an exact date for the feat. But William does mention another key episode in Aylmer's life when the monk was advanced in years. Aylmer witnessed Halley's Comet in 1066, commenting, "It is long since I saw you." Some historians have interpreted this to mean that Aylmer saw Halley's Comet on an earlier flyby in 989, when he would have been a young boy. Assuming Aylmer was at least 5 years wood in 989, he would have been born no later than 984. This would make Aylmer in his 80s in 1066, with his attempt at flight, which occurred when he was in his first youth, likely falling between 1000 and 1010. However, it's an estimate that is based on a lot of assumption, according to James Aitchison of the University of Leicester, who argues in a paper published in the journal Notes and Queries that Aylmer may have seen a different comet altogether in his youth, the comet of 1018. If so, he would have been born much later, and the date of his flight would have occurred between the 1020s and 1040s. Next. Second, from Ars Technica. Did a medieval flying monk spot Halley's Comet twice? It's complicated. Early in the 11th century, a young Benedictine monk named Aylmer jumped from the 150-foot tower of his abbey in the small English town of Malmesbury, wearing a pair of crude wings he'd fashioned from willow wood and cloth. Aylmer managed to glide a good 600 feet, passing over the city wall before crash-landing in a small valley near the River Avon. The fall broke both his legs, crippling him. Malmesbury Abbey still boasts a stained-glass window in honor of Brother Aylmer. This legendary experiment in medieval aviation comes to us via 12th-century historian William of Malmesbury in an account written circa 1125, although William neglected to provide future historians with an exact date for the feat. But William does mention another key episode in Aylmer's life when the monk was advanced in years. Aylmer witnessed Halley's Comet in 1066, commenting, "It is long since I saw you." Some historians have interpreted this to mean that Aylmer saw Halley's Comet on an earlier flyby in 989, when he would have been a young boy. Assuming Aylmer was at least 5 years wood in 989, he would have been born no later than 984. This would make Aylmer in his 80s in 1066, with his attempt at flight, which occurred when he was in his first youth, likely falling between 1000 and 1010. However, it's an estimate that is based on a lot of assumption, according to James Aitchison of the University of Leicester, who argues in a paper published in the journal Notes and Queries that Aylmer may have seen a different comet altogether in his youth, the comet of 1018. If so, he would have been born much later and the date of his flight would have occurred between the 1020s and 1040s. Up next, third, from Crystal Clear, you need to make time for rabbit holes. I've been thinking about how we all need those uninterrupted stretches where we can chase a curiosity rabbit hole until it leads us somewhere unexpected. The piece argues that protecting that time isn't about hitting a specific goal. It's about letting the process itself fuel our creativity. When we let the real world intrude, the flow breaks and the frustration feels almost physical. The author leans on a few classic thinkers: Lispector's idea of grace, Weil's notion of empty attention, Monet's advice to forget the name of what we're looking at, to show that this state of egoless immersion has been described for centuries. It's less a mystical breakthrough and more a practical condition. We can't force insight, but we can set the environment for it to appear. In practice, that means carving out space, turning off distractions, and allowing ourselves to play without a deadline. The nothing they talk about isn't emptiness for its own sake. It's the mental room where new connections can surface.